I'm not much of a speaker in front of people. I never really have done it much, so good luck to me. I've had a wild and crazy life. I prayed over what to say. I rewrote my little notes 3-4 times, trying to pack 10 pounds of crud into a 5-pound bag, because half hour just doesn't do it. I couldn't tell my life story in a half hour. I was born and raised in Boulder. Lived here until I got married, moved to Lafayette. I have two brothers and a sister. My dad was an alcoholic, and my mom was mentally and physically abusive. And so I didn't have a good relationship with my mom growing up. And up until I met God, I really didn't have a good relationship with my mom. I'm not sure she ever loved me, and I'm not sure even in the end she loved me. But I loved her, so that's, you know, God helped me get through that and love her. So my story is, I had a wild child life growing up with my dad and my mom. They worked all the time. My dad was an alcoholic, but he still worked. He was a functioning alcoholic. And I'm kind of blowing this off because I'm just winging it, because
it's all right.
You know, so
bless that you're here.
He, but he always worked. My mom always worked, but they weren't good with money. So we moved a lot. I moved 5 times just in elementary school. So, you know, just moved from neighborhood to neighborhood and that kind of stuff. Life wasn't fun at home, so I tried to spend as much time away from home as I could, because I was happier away from home. And I'm just going to breeze through my early childhood. It wasn't fun. By the time I got to sixth grade, I kind of got the attitude that I didn't care anymore. I was going to be in trouble with my mom no matter what I did, so I decided I was going to do whatever the heck I wanted. And that was kind of my attitude. And when I got to Casey, well, of course, at Casey, it was a whole different ball game than elementary school. And I started learning to party and get together with girls. And I went wild for about 4 years, and I went really wild. I did just enough in school to get grades good enough to keep playing in the sports, because I enjoyed the sports. But that's about as much school as I really cared about, just staying in the sports. And I did go wild. I did a lot of partying. Girls were, I like dating girls and trying to have sex with girls, to be honest with you. And so sports and girls and partying was my life, you know, through junior high and into high school. And I was, when I was a sophomore in high school, I quit doing the sports because partying and girls were more important than sports even. So I came home one day about, midway to getting near the end of my sophomore year. And I looked at my dad and I went, that's what I'm going to be if I keep going the way I'm going. And I didn't want to be that way, so I quit drinking, I quit playing around with drugs, and I started getting my act together. I'll tell stories that are good stories throughout this little talk here. When I was in third grade, my grandmother actually taught me money management without even knowing it. The guy in our neighborhood had a bike for sale. It was a Schwinn 5-speed Stingray, which were all the rage at that time. And I wanted to buy that bike, and I wanted to buy it bad. And of course, my parents didn't have the money for me to buy it. And I was sharing a bike with my sister, and it was, I wanted that bike. And so I was telling my grandma about it, and she gave me the money to buy it on the deal that I came over every Saturday and pulled dandelions. She didn't want those dandelions to spread, so I had to go over every Saturday morning and pull dandelions to pay off that bike. And I actually still have that bike. Yeah. Wow. It's hanging in my garage.
Wow.
So she taught me that, you know, if you want something in life, you got to work for it. And so that was a good lesson from her. She didn't know it, but I realized it later. And I actually gave that bike away twice and it came back to me. So I figured I was supposed to keep it. So it's hanging in my garage to this day. So that was a great story. I love my grandma. She was great. My grandpa, he used to build furniture for the church. I grew up in the church. I didn't believe in the church because what I was being taught in church and what I lived at home didn't match. So I wanted nothing to do with the church as I grew up. And I said, I believe in God, but I don't believe in organized religion. And I started beating that drum probably early junior high. And I beat that drum all the way till I was, 15 years ago when I actually came back to the Lord. And I beat it loud and proud. I believe in God, but I don't really believe in organized religion. I think organized religion's a crock, and I'm not interested in it. But luckily, my wife was a faithful woman, and she still kept reading the Bible every day. And she didn't go to church because I wouldn't go. And I said, Sunday's our only day together, so that's going to be family day. We're not going to waste going to church. So that was something that I wish I hadn't done, but, buyer's remorse. So she, when my son and his wife split, she decided that she needed to take my daughter-in-law to church because she was having problems with prescription drugs and alcohol, and she needed to go to church and find the Lord. And so she had heard about this church, and so she decided to take her to this church, and she came home. She was all excited. She was just filled with the Lord. And she said to me, I realized that God sent me to that church for me to go to that church, not for me to take Katie to that church. And so she said, I'm going to keep going to that church. And I said, okay, that's fine. You can do what you want. I'm not going to stop you. So she didn't pressure me. She just, every Saturday, she'd say, hey, you want to go to church with me? And I go, no, I'm good. But enjoy, And so she kept going, and I kept seeing how she was coming back every Saturday night after church and how excited she was and how great she was doing. And so I finally decided to go with her. And when I did my normal. I went to church and crossed my arms, and I was like, I'm not going to listen to a dang word this guy says. I'm just going to sit here and stew the whole time. But she kept telling me, this is a church you'll like. This is a church I think you'll like. And I kept going, oh, there's no church I'll like. So I went there, and when I went in, and the pastor was standing up on stage in his jeans and a t-shirt, and he was saying he had the same problems as me. I went, wow, this is a church I could go to. Because all the church I grew up in, the minister was up here, you were down here, and he preached down to you. And it wasn't, so when I go into this church and he's saying, hey, I struggle with the same things you do, and it wasn't, I was like, okay, I go to this church. And so I started going to the church, and it was a process because I still had my doubts. But as I kept going and I kept listening to his message, and then I started praying and reading the Bible, and one day the Lord just came into my heart and filled me with the Spirit and changed my life. I started volunteering at the church, working in the kids ministry, and I just have been blessed on that ever since. But the Lord has been blessing me my whole life without me even knowing it. He blessed me with my wife. Like I said, I was wild. I was really wild. And when I was in ninth grade, I was hitchhiking from I was hitchhiking from Heatherwood to Boulder with my buddy, and my older sister's friend was coming to pick up my sister, and I didn't know that, so she stopped and picked us up. And my wife likes to tell the story. She says, my sister asked me, do you know these guys? And my wife said, no, I don't. And then she just pulled over to pick us up. And my wife said, I don't know these guys. What are you doing? And she said, oh, well, that's Jackie's little brother. So pick him up and give him a ride home. So I was having to be going home. So she gave us a ride to my house. And then we were going back out to my buddy's house in Heatherwood. So they gave us a ride back out to Heatherwood. Well, poor Mary was stuck in the back seat between me and my buddy. And we were both wild. And like I said, my thought of girls was not to have a relationship, not to have a relationship with God. It was just to see what I could get off of. And I was not a nice person. So she was stuck in the back seat. And then later on, when I got back home and I was talking to my sister, I tried to get her to introduce me to her so I could take her out on a date. And my sister would have nothing to do with it. He said, no way. She is a sweet, nice girl, and I won't do that to her. You're not a sweet, nice guy, so I'm not going to do that to her. So, she was adamant. There was no way it was going to happen. Well, after I quit drinking and I quit partying and started getting my act together, well, she finally introduced me to Mary, and we started dating. And she was a very sweet, God-fearing, God-loving girl. And she didn't drink, she didn't smoke, she didn't party, she didn't have sex, she didn't do any of that stuff. But I knew there was something special about her, so I stayed with her. We started dating, and we dated for a couple of years, and that wasn't me. But I knew there was something special about her, and I fell in love with her, and she fell in love with me. And we were going to get married after she got out of college, because she had a trust fund to pay for her college. And I just went to work after high school because I knew I wasn't going to college. So, but I kidnapped her on her 16th birthday. I was supposed to be giving her a ride to school, and she was a sophomore. And I was a senior, and I kidnapped her. And instead of taking her to school, I took her to my buddy's house, and we celebrated her birthday a little more than we should have. And 6 months later, we found out she was pregnant. Mm. So it was, what are you going to do? Well, he's my son, at that time we didn't know he's the boy. But so we decided, we had talked about getting married, so we decided we'd get married. And her dad had the idea that if to let her stay there, so his insurance would pay for all the medical for the baby to be born, to get married after she had the baby. So we did that. But initially, they wanted her to have the baby and give him up for adoption to her aunt, who had lost a child. And so we decided that we were getting married. And of course, he had to sign the papers because she was only 16. And so she couldn't marry me without his signature. And he still never told us till the day he actually signed the paper that we could get married. That was the day I found out he was actually going to sign the paper. Even though we had the wedding plan, we had invitations out, we had everything planned for moving in. I bought a trailer. A buddy of mine had a trailer that he was selling, and he took $1,000 off his wedding present. So I bought that. We moved into the trailer. And so we got married, and she was 16. She was, at that point, she was a junior in high school. And she finished high school. She had a tough time in high school because when she was, she started her junior year, she was pregnant. Kids weren't nice to her. So that she struggled through that, but she made it through. She graduated. She actually went to college and graduated. So that was good. But she actually saved my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I was going nowhere but to hell. And when we got married, she wanted to continue going to church, and her pastor had moved to a different church out of town. And so we started going to the church I grew up in. And so I went with her just for whatever reason I did. I didn't want to, but I did. She wanted to go, so I said, okay, we're newlyweds, we got to make this work. And so I went to church with her, and it didn't take too long for me to say, you know, when she got out of high school and she was working Tuesday through Saturday, I was working Monday through Friday. So the only day we had off together was Sunday. So that was my way to get out of church. Sunday's our family day. I'm not going to waste our church. So that was her quitting going to church. But she still kept reading the Bible and praying, and that's what finally, you know, I say she finally decided to go back to church after she thought she was taking my daughter-in-law so she could get something out of church, and she realized that it was for her. And then she never pressured me. I got to say, she never tried to force me to go to church. She just said, I think this is a church you'll like. And, you know, if you ever want to go, you want to go. So she just always offered. And so that's what brought me back. And you know, the Lord blessed me with her. The Lord blessed me with my grandma and grandpa, because I got a lot from my grandmother and my grandpa sitting out in his workshop watching him build that kids' furniture for the church. He built them little desks and chairs, and he actually built the pews for the children's church there. It's the church I grew up in. But we had to go every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and anything that was going on at the church, we had to be a part of. And that was just what my mom, and she sang in the choir, she taught Sunday school, she was a part of that church. And that's not what it was at home. So that was my, and there was a long time later on in life that I didn't care if I never saw my mom again. If I never saw her again, I'd been happy. So, but my wife wouldn't let that happen. We got to go see your mom. We got to still do the holidays. We still got to go see your mom at least once a week. That kind of thing. And no matter how much I didn't want to do it, that one she did push, which I'm glad she did, because when I did come back to the Lord and I looked at my relationship with my mom, and I decided I didn't want to go to my grave or her to go to her grave with me feeling the way I felt. So I was able in my heart to work that out. And I fixed my relationship. I don't know if she ever felt any different about me or not. I don't know. Because like I said, I never felt like she loved me. So, but when she fell a bunch of times, smacked her head on the cement and got brain damage and went into dementia. I mean, they said it was dementia. I think it was brain damage, because how many falls she did and hit her head on cement. And just so I started taking care of her. I was ordering her food and taking it to her and putting it away for her. And she needed me. So me and my sister, we took care of her. I did that kind of stuff. My sister took care of the finances, and we did that until she passed away. And I feel honored that I was able to take care of her when she needed it. So that's my story. And then Don brought me here, and I thank you guys for this group, because this is a great group, and I really need it, and I love this group. So thank you.